Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got a great guest today, and he's actually returning for the second time. His name is Gabe Arnold, and he's with the Business Marketing Engine, and Gabe is a guy that talks about sales, marketing, outsourcing, all that kind of fun stuff. And today we're going to be focusing primarily on just the sales part. So, Gabe, man, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me back, Brian. It's always fun hanging out here.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. So if you guys want to go learn more about Gabe, go listen to episode 183. That's where you'll hear his backstory and learn a little bit more about him. But I figure we've got such a big subject to talk about. We just, you know, dive right in, man. So let's kind of dig in. So where we're coming from on sales is we've done all the stuff up front. We've, you know, created traffic, email lists, whatever it is. And we finally got somebody who says, hey, I want to speak with you. You either get on the phone with them or you're, you know, meeting with them face to face at a Starbucks or something like that. So what do you think, in your estimation, is the biggest barrier that people have when they walk in to start a sales conversation?
Usually, I think, you know, to answer your question, I kind of like looked back over the years of all the things I've sold over the last 20 years. And I started to analyze like which conversations went really well, what deals closed easier, what ones I totally spun out on, because it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you've sold, you always spin out once in a while. And I looked at like what worked and what didn't work. And I think that most people struggle in sales, period, because they have no framework or process to follow. And they walk in and just try to wing it. And that's hard to do with anything. Like, you can't just stand up in front of Carnegie Hall and play some masterpiece on the piano if you don't have any idea where to start. And so then you put a lot of pressure on yourself. So I've actually put together a three-part, you know, framework that works really well for me and my team and everybody that we teach it to.
Cool. So let's define exactly what that is. First, let's get kind of a broad brush of the three parts, and then we'll dig into each one of them. So what are they?
Yeah. So the three parts that you have to remember, the three P's, are power, process, and package. If you can remember those three pieces, then it's pretty easy to walk into a sales call with the right sale, or, you know, right focus, right kind of confidence, and right approach. And the first one that I think is really, really key is to really have a good handle on your product knowledge. And I know that sounds like a basic thing, but I'm surprised, you know, every day or every week when I get a sales call or get in a situation or watch somebody that I'm mentoring and they don't have enough product knowledge, and then they, that causes them to stumble or struggle. And for me, it's not that you need to throw tons of data at your prospect. It's more about you walking into the meeting with the right level of confidence, knowing your stuff. Because if you don't know anything about it, then that sets you up for failure right away.
Mm-hmm. One of the first things that I always think about is, number one, you know, they called you. They have an agenda. You have an agenda. Is there anything before you get into those three P's that you do to kind of quantify? Are there any questions that you ask that kind of clues you in as to what you're going to say once you do get that face-to-face or dig in the phone call anymore?
Yeah, but I mean, before the call, I would say, you know, absolutely, I'd love to get together, or, you know, I would, but I'd say, you know, what do you want to cover, or how can I help you? I'm going to get some direction of they want to talk about this service or they have this problem, because otherwise I'm not going to book the call, honestly, because I want to be, you know, I want to be respectful of their time and mine. And if they want to know how to raise alpacas, I'm probably not the guy for that. So I typically, start there, you know, so I know what direction we're going to go. But I actually, with that out of the way, knowing like basic direction of where we're going, I tend to, you know, do most of my discovery in the call, or at the face-to-face meeting, where we get into that in process. But I see people walk into those meetings really nervous and not sure what to say. And knowledge is the first piece. Like, really knowing your product gives you confidence to be able to answer questions that may come up. And then the second piece of power that you need to walk into a situation if you want to be effective is actually having, you know, the right level and like a ton of enthusiasm about what you offer and what you do. Because without that, then there won't be any decision or forward motion. And so that's the other piece. And you can only, this is the way, the progression that I think that happens if it's done right. You can only have enthusiasm about your product or service if you know everything about it and you know how awesome it is and how it's going to change that person's life for the better or change their business or help them grow.
Right.
So you have enough knowledge what it can do, and you truly should believe whatever you're selling is making the world a better place. If you don't believe that, then stop selling it. Like, just stop, because you're not going to be successful and you're going to hurt people too, which is not cool.
And one of the things I think is really important in this area is, you know, having real life examples. You know, some people call them case studies, some people call them success stories. But the bottom line is when you've seen whatever your product is or your service is, if you've seen it actually create the end vision for the person that you're trying to sell this to, and you can marry those two things. So somebody wants to, you know, change their lifestyle, lose weight, whatever it is. If you've seen it work before and you can say, okay, this product and this person match up in a way, there's a natural enthusiasm in that, right?
Yeah, you're totally right. That's a great, great example. Because it's like when I sit down to share with somebody how our cold email programs work, and that I said, you know, just last month we had one of our clients use this exact process and land a deal with the biggest gas company in the United States, then it's easy to get excited about that. So I totally agree. And that's, you definitely need to have, you know, success stories that prove that what you're trying to offer actually works. And that's what, you know, ultimately ends up creating belief. And you're not going to move anybody forward. They're not going to buy anything. Nothing is going to happen until you can create belief in the mind of your prospect, because all decisions come out of the emotional part of our brain, not the logical part. And belief is an emotion that's created by logic, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. And that's very true. Is if, you know, if you can create belief in somebody that, and that's hard to do, you know, I mean, that's getting somebody to change religion sometimes, but
exactly.
You know, but it can happen. You know, if you're persuasive enough and you do really believe it, and it's got some proven things that you can bring forth, then you've got it. So, how do we move from the power to the process? Because I believe process is like key in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you walk in with that level of knowledge, you've got the enthusiasm, which becomes contagious, and then you start to rub off your belief on the prospect. And that is all actually typically tone or body language or all everything but words in some senses. But when you have that down and you're just a total believer in what you're doing, that's when you move into process. And this is probably the most powerful part that we see folks that work with us and train with us and you know, engage with us just have the big aha moment, because for some reason people think they can just go in and wing a sales conversation and get consistent results. Even the folks that claim to do that, they actually have a process that they go through. They may have just been selling for so long that they totally forget what they're doing because it's second nature. But the process is key. So there's basically four parts to a call, and I'm specifically talking about like your first discovery type interaction where it's like, hey Brian, you know, I know you said you wanted to chat about doing SEO on your site, whatever you came to us for, whatever the thing was. And so let's have this first conversation to see if it makes sense for us to work together. So this is the process for that. Future calls or closing the deal or something, we provide a lot of that training, but this is the most important call in the whole process, in my opinion. So when we walk into the call or we sit down and we're having coffee, we actually want to frame that up so there's expectations from the beginning. And so I would frame it up with you, Brian, if you know, just pretending it was us, and say, hey, I'm really glad that we could make some time to get together today. And I'm just going to share with you how our process works when we explore partnering with new clients. Does that sound good to you, Brian? And I'm going to, throughout this whole process of framing, which I'll finish up here, I'm going to ask for your acknowledgement and your buy-in, and for you to say yes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll say, hey, does, you know, that sound good to you? And you're like, yeah. And nobody's going to disagree to that. We got together to work something out or figure out if we should work together. And then the second piece of framing the call, and there's a lot more framing that we get into a training, but we'll kind of keep it a little high level today, is I'm going to say, and just so you know, Brian, I always make it my goal at the end of a call to have total clarity on the direction that we're moving, if we're doing something or if we're not. So is it okay with you if I have any questions later, if I have any confusion or lack of clarity, can I ask you questions until I get clarity? Mm-hmm. And again, everybody's gonna say, yep, absolutely. Nobody wants to create confusion. So with that out of the way, I now have the ability and the tools and your permission to guide you through this process. So then I'll say, awesome, I really appreciate that. That's always what we cover in the beginning. So why don't you take, 5 minutes, just kind of catch me up. Tell me about how you got started, why you're in business, what you like about what you do, what you don't like, and then why you wanted to get together today, and why we're considering trying to solve these goals or these problems together. That is the most important part of the call, where you just need to actually shut up and listen, because everything you need to know is going to happen in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, which totally makes sense, because I mean, listening is that's one of the places that most people don't spend enough time on. I mean, I always say God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we listen twice as much as we talk. But salespeople are taught to, guide the conversation and, direct it this way and overcome objections. And, it's the typical thing. It's the, lay the groundwork, overcome the objections, ask for the close, that kind of stuff. And that old school way of doing things doesn't work the way it used to, right?
It doesn't work the way it used to, but people don't understand it either. And that's the biggest problem with it. And I totally agree with you. It's like, yes, you should be guiding the conversation, but you should be guiding the conversation with questions, mm-hmm. not with talking the whole time and just expecting that you're understanding and that you want what I have. So the things that I listen to in that discover them is this step. So we frame the call, then we discover them or the other person. I'm going to listen for, do you sound like somebody that culturally will fit with our organization? And so for us, as an example, that would mean like you think long term, you take ownership of the work that you're doing on your side, just like we take ownership on our side. What have you succeeded and failed in before? Does it sound like you're really patient and you are willing to trust other people? Or do you like to micromanage things until they break? I'm going to listen for little cues like that. And I'm also going to pay attention to how you talk about other vendors or other relationships, because that's going to really open my eyes to how you're going to treat, me and my team.
Yeah, which totally makes sense. So is there any other pieces to the process, or is it time for us to move on to the package?
No. So I just kind of hit that hard because that's one of the most important parts of process. So you discover them, they tell you their story, and you should ask questions until you understand where they are, who they are, and then what they came to you to solve. So if they, whatever your thing is that you do, then you have clarity on what they're looking to solve. Then you say, awesome, I think I understand, Brian, that you want to be number one in Google for this term because you came to me for SEO. And so let me share with you a little bit about how we do that, about me and our team here. And let me also share with you that I'm always going to be totally upfront with you and honest and objective. And I have that expectation of you too, so that we can begin this relationship, in a positive manner. Whether we do business today or not is not a big deal to me. I don't need your money, but I'm happy to explore this and see if it is a good fit for us. So then I'll share, here's what we offer. Here's the team. Here's how we do our thing. And here's kind of our budgets of how we work. So we have this package and this package and this package. And then I'll say, does that make sense to you? And I'll see if you have any questions about how our process works. And then from there, I've also kind of set another expectation by saying, we're always upfront and honest, and that's what we expect from the people we work with. I'm conditioning you to live in my world because I'm going to invite you as a client to live in my virtual house, my business. And so at the end of that, you may have had questions or whatever about a package or not understood something. We clarify those questions. And then I'll say, Brian, just like we said at the beginning of our time today, we're going to have total clarity. And so the last step in kind of this conversation that we're having is, let's commit to a path to move forward. Does this sound like something you want to do? And if so, which package makes sense? What's the timing? Let's discuss that. And then I'll continue to ask questions until I have total clarity on the fact that you want to move forward with this package on this day, and we'll commit to doing it. or even if it's today, I'll close you today. That's not always the case. Or if you're giving me, if you're trying to sidestep saying no to me, I'll just say, it's okay to say no, Brian. I don't mind if this isn't a fit for you. But like I said, we're going to get to total clarity at the end of today's, you know, time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the overall of the entire process.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's talk about some modern day techniques. And I'm going to give you an example from my perspective. There's all this talk about sales funnels. The sales process face to face is a little different than the sales funnel, but the principles are pretty much the same. So yeah. There's a philosophy to getting to, when you start talking about packages, my mind immediately goes to a sales funnel where you sell somebody something free plus $7 for shipping, and then you upsell them to a $49 upgrade, and then you sell them to a $159 upgrade, and you sell them to a $1,000 upgrade, and then a $10,000 upgrade. I walk into a situation where I've got, I know already in my mind, I've got a $47 a month package, and I got a $5,000 a month package. How do you go into a sales conversation? Because, you know, I hear it all the time. It's like, start with the 5,000, work your way back. Start with the 47, work your way up. Is there a point where you make a decision to say, I'm going to go this direction or that direction? You stick to the same thing, you know, because it's, you hit somebody with $5,000, a lot of times their eyes glaze over and they just, no, I can't do this. And by the time you get to the 47, they're still thinking about the 5,000. If you start at $47, then it's undervaluing what you do, and they hit the 5,000. It's like, why would I pay him 5,000 when I could do it for 47? So what's the mindset trick, the ninja trick that you bring to that?
I don't know if there's any ninja tricks, but I'll tell you what I do at least.
Okay.
So the most important thing that's going on in this process is you're getting to know that person and figuring out how you can serve them effectively. That's the overall answer. It's never about the amount of money that they're going to give you in the early stages there. And that's actually why I said earlier, you know, if this is a good fit, that's great. If not, that's fine too. I don't really need your money. I say that line, and I say that in different versions and different situations, but I do say that exact line at times because I know as a salesperson who's growing my business, I need a customer this week. It may not be you, Brian. And it's very important for me to detach from the outcome for a couple of reasons. One, I want to feel like that call was a success no matter what, and it will be if I got to know a new friend. Number two, if I act needy at all, then you're going to be totally repulsed by that and you're not going to want to buy from me. And so I intentionally put myself in a spot where I'm like, hey, you know, if this works out together, that's great. If not, that's totally cool too. We can, you know, we can continue to get to know each other. So with that mindset in place, then I am going to give you the opportunity to self-select into the package that makes sense for you. And I always sell top down. So if we're continuing the SEO example or whatever the package is, I can say, hey, you know, our most aggressive, fastest moving platinum package is $5,000 a month. And it includes all these great things and it will change your world and even wipe your dog's feet for you. You know, obviously you're just kind of blowing out every great detail about what that is. Then we have our, you know, $2,500 package, which includes this, but it doesn't have these kind of bells and whistles. And then we have our basic package at the bottom. Which means we're going to do the basics things, but you're going to be in charge of X, Y, Z, or, you know, what other components are there. And during the time that you're explaining or going through those packages, you need to pay attention to the person's face, their tonal language. You need to see where they're at. You need to gauge where they're at. So if you're just on the phone, I would say, I'm going to share three different packages that we have, Brian. Let me go through them. So I'm going to set the expectation that there's going to be three different levels. And after each package, I'm going to say, does that one make sense to you? You understand what's in there? I will answer questions, of course, if you don't understand something, but I'm not actually super concerned about the words that you're saying. I'm going to listen to the tone of how you come back, because you're going to give me a clue based on your enthusiasm of which one's a fit, purely based on your tone and facial expressions or body language if we're sitting in person. And what happens as we go through from the top down is the ideal, which typically happens if you've used this process the right way, you know, throughout the meeting, is you're going to self-select and say, you know, 5,000 isn't really what I need, but the 2,500 is perfect. And statistically and psychologically, people will buy higher if you start at the top and just explain everything kind of matter-of-factly and don't push them into anything. You just say, which one makes sense to you? And you leave it at that.
Okay, totally makes sense. All right, one last question for you, and that is, have you ever gotten into a situation where you sit down, you have a meeting, somebody sounds like they're going to be a great person to sit down and talk with, and the next thing you know, you're sitting on a sales call across from somebody else who's trying to sell you something when you're trying to sell them something?
Yes, that has happened many times to me. It doesn't happen so much anymore because I do screen out the meetings like we talked about earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have had people turn around the call on me, and I will turn around the call on people if they just come in too hot and fast. So
that's what I was asking, is how you deal with that, because that's happened to me a lot, is like people act interested in what you have and then they'll turn around and say, well, hey, by the way, I've got, you know, this knife that butters bread better than any knife ever. And it's like, okay. No, thanks. I don't need it. And then now you're on the defense. It's like, well, yeah, but you got to check this out, man. You know, watch my video, do all my stuff. No.
The way that I have learned to stay away from that is I will do a teeny bit of due diligence on people. So I will look at their LinkedIn profile.
Mm-hmm.
I will, you know, look at their Facebook feed. I'll even pay attention to their spelling and grammar and how they act in email or text message, whatever it is, because there's a bunch of little subtle indicators there that are going to tell you how they're going to behave. Yeah. And if I'm not sure, if like I booked the meeting and I was like, man, I should really go see who this Brian guy is and see if he actually has a podcast or whatever, I would crawl through your feed and I'd be like, oh, like he does have a podcast. Or if this was a veiled guise to sell me the next direct marketing company, which there's nothing wrong with those, but that's not for me, it's not what I want, then I would reach out and say, hey, Brian, I just wanted to get clarity on what we're going to cover in the meeting because I have a very limited amount of time. What specifically do you want to cover?
Right.
And I'll listen for the response there. Hopefully they're honest, but if it's a sketchy answer, then I may say, hey, let's just do it over the phone. I've got 10 minutes, you know, let's do it now, or I'm going to compress the time. Or if I just don't feel like they're being honest and they don't look like a good prospect for me, then I'm going to say, you know what, I can't do it. You know, we may be able to reconnect in the future, but I've had other priorities come up. And nicely blow them off, because I don't need to waste their time and they don't need to waste mine.
Yeah, totally makes sense, man. Well, this has been great. Lots of great little nuggets and some good ideas about the sales process. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. But I think people are probably going to want to get a little bit more. So do you have something else that they can get their arms around?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're stuck on sales, or it's been good and bad and you don't really have a process, or you're just not sure where to go with it, from leads to closing the deal, you know, the entire life cycle of it, you can go over to ultimatesalesfreedom.com, and we have some great educational things there, a course, actually a piece as well, where you can do some one-on-one coaching with me, whatever you need there. I've been selling for 20 years, and it's one of my favorite things to do, so that's why we put that together.
Cool, man. So, hey, Gabe, man, this has been great. Thanks for coming and dropping some sizzling hot knowledge bombs on my peeps. And if they want to find you online and connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Facebook's probably the easiest. I hang out there the most, so just look up Gabe Arnold on Facebook. I'm the serial entrepreneur on Facebook. So,
gotcha. I'm glad you added entrepreneur after that, because otherwise it would have been No, we won't go there. So anyways, man, no, this has been a blast. Thanks for spending the time and sharing your knowledge with us, and look forward to having you on the podcast again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brian. This has been a blast.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.